Good day, beautiful people, and welcome back to the relaunch. It's Dianca, your Blue Diva here, and I am just reflecting today about folks who have had an influence in my life. Today I'm really thinking about family. It seems like family tends to kind of have a, I don't know, they get embedded within you. You find yourself saying and doing things that they did. You look in the mirror and you say, "Ooh, that's my mama." You look in the mirror and you say, "Oh my, that sounded just like this one or that one." Or, you know, a baby is born and you're like, "Ooh, that's so-and-so coming back again," right? So it's amazing how that works, how people's influence become embedded in our DNA, in our attitude, in our demeanor. Today I was just thinking about my grandparents. So let me give you a brief history. My father's mother passed when I was around 11 or 12 years old. My father's father passed away in my mid-20s. My grandmother on my mother's side, my maternal grandmother, just passed away 2 years ago, and her stepfather passed away last year. And it's crazy because now I'm living in a world with no grandparents. And I'm not quite 40 yet, but there's no grandparents for me, no great grandparents. And so, you know, of course, the first thing you think about is, did I get everything I was supposed to get out of them? But as I've been living life, I realize I'll never really know what all they passed down to me until I hit certain situations. You know, they say wisdom comes with the graying of the hair, and sometimes you hear the wisdom of the people who brought you up as you go along in life, and you realize it's not wisdom of your own. It's incredible. It's beautiful. And so today I want to talk about two folks because, you know, the grandmothers, my grandmothers had such a big impact that it would take me hours and hours to describe and discuss that. So I'm going to talk about the grandfathers. I'm actually going to start with my mother's stepfather. It's interesting, and I'm sure some of you, you know, will be able to relate to this experience. Her father passed away, her biological father passed away when she was 11 or 12 years old, massive stroke and died. And so she lived, you know, she was raised without her biological father. And the person that came into her mother's life, her stepfather, he was a Vietnam vet. And that being said, all vets don't have the same experience, but this particular man was suffering from every kind of negative effect that you could have in that situation. And it's interesting because as I'm telling this story and as I've been thinking about telling this story, I think about the fact that to some extent, we all believe some people to be too far gone or to be unredeemable. But it's interesting in life that God kind of gives us these opportunities to be something other than what maybe even the majority of people know us to be. And case in point, my mother's stepfather was not the kind of guy that you would have wanted to come into your world as a stepfather. So in her world of the 60s, 70s, that wasn't his time of life to actually be a great person playing that role. And that's her story to tell. So I don't get into any of that. But he wasn't the hero. Let's just put it like that. All of his inconsistencies, everything that he had experienced, all the stuff that he didn't deal with, that all culminated in him being not the kind of candidate that you would choose for yourself as a step parent, right? But by the time I come into the picture in 1981, I'm the first granddaughter on this side of the family, and this guy's just Papa to me, you know, it's just Papa and Nanny, and they dote on me, and they, you know, give me gifts and I'm just the perfect little everything. I can't do any wrong, literally cannot do any wrong. And it was crazy because, I mean, I was aware of kind of his, you know, issues because he was a nutty kind of character. And it's interesting that he took it upon himself to kind of share a lot of stuff with me as a kid. So he was always kind of trying to keep me from being so naive. As I got older, he wanted to explain certain things to me about men, and it was crazy. But this story is a cross-section of kind of just how he was in general. And I'm going to tell stories from the same age for both grandparents, but his name was Oscar, and he was super paranoid about certain things. He had he had a very colorful way of explaining things. He was kind of in combat mode all the time, always very strategic and just kind of, you know, way too intense for a kid. But I was in about the fifth or sixth grade, getting ready to graduate in Oklahoma City at the time. Elementary school was from pre-K to six, so I'm graduating, and everybody's fussing over me, and my grandmother and my mom wanted me to wear heels. And Oscar, he pulls me over to the side, and he's like, "I'm gonna talk to you about something, explain something to you." I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "You know what's wrong with them heels. You know why men like them heels. You know why men like to see women in them heels, don't you?" And I'm like, "Nah, not really, you know. You gonna explain something to me, you know?" Because for him, he had all these gold nuggets, you know, in his mind, he's like full of these nuggets that he needs to drop on you, right? So he's explaining to me the mentality of the man, you know. So he's like, "You got to understand what a man is. You got to understand how a man think. You know, he come at a situation and he's looking at a group of women like a herd, you know, like a bunch of sheep or, you know, something like that. And he's like, he's looking for the straggler, the one that's wobbling on their feet, the one that's not sturdy on their feet, not agile, not nimble with what they're doing. And y'all wearing them heels and you looking like wounded prey." And I'm like, "Wounded prey, okay." And it stuck with me. Honestly, it stuck with me. And it's so funny because I've always been kind of had an aversion to, you know, wearing really high heels. I kind of avoid them. I avoid heels, period. Anybody that knows me knows I rarely wear heels. And any type of height that a normal adult in this period of time would wear, I don't wear at all. And it was so crazy because when he passed away last year, that story came to mind and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm stuck with this guy. Like, he's a part of me, you know, even though the DNA is not there." The stuff that he, sorry guys, got a little bit of allergies there. But anyway, the stuff that he, you know, told me, it's a part of me. It's crazy. And I kind of carried that with me. And I think about those kinds of things, the things that he said. And then think about my paternal grandfather, who was actually my, you know, biological grandfather. He's super stoic, very, very stoic guy. Not a talker. Came across as pretty, you know, unapproachable. And it came a period of time where he ends up staying in our home. And it was crazy because it's around the same time and he's staying in our home. I'm in middle school, I think 7th, 8th grade. And, you know, I'm on a different schedule than my other siblings because I was going to a private school at the time. And we're sitting in the house together. And, you know, you just kind of have to be in this guy's world because you never really know what he's up to. You know, it's a house full of people, but he's got his own world going on. You smell meat cooking and you know there's no meat in the fridge. So maybe some poor critter lost his life out there. He became part of a Vittles type of situation, a soup or something like that. But my grandfather was from the deep, deep south in Mississippi, a town called Ware. And it's unbelievable because he just kind of, he came across as someone that was completely fearless. And I think it made him seem unapproachable to a lot of other folks, especially people in the family. I feel like maybe he was he self-alienated to whatever extent. I don't know his story or why he was the way he was. But it was amazing because I learned the value of quiet people. And I learned that if you invest a little bit of time, you'll find out that there's treasure in there. And it's crazy because I remember one incident, I was at home and he said, well, what kind of stuff do you eat? You know, it was kind of accusatory, like, you know, what are you going to be eating this morning? Hey, you're going to have some of those sugar pops, some of those sugar flakes. You know, he's making fun of me. Everything's super sarcastic when he finally starts talking. And I'm like, well, I'll just have whatever you have. And he's like, well, we're having T-bone. You ever had a T-bone breakfast with some biscuits and eggs? I said, well, no, I've never had a T-bone, period. You know, I'm a kid. So he makes the T-bone breakfast, and we sit there. He makes these biscuits, and it was delicious. It's got gravy and all the stuff that my mom refused to let any of us eat. And we sit and we watch these soap operas, and he's making all this hilarious commentary. And it was so crazy because... if you look at my life now and look at the people that I'm close to, I have a tendency to be very close to very, very quiet people. You know, not even to get into all of that, but I married a quiet person. My best friends are very quiet. I learned the value of investing a little bit of time and not necessarily expecting people to just pour out just because you're, you know, charismatic or funny or whatever. It's a big departure from my personality because I'm not that way. I'm not quiet. I'm not shy, as you can see. It's no big deal for me to get out there and talk to anybody. But I learned to kind of treasure and value and almost see kind of a sacredness and being close to a quiet person. There's a lot more investigating and more investment that has to go into those relationships. I realized that both of those men brought things to my life. Maybe my mother's stepfather brought a little bit of, you know, paranoia, but I was such a sheltered kid that it was good for me to kind of have that mentality to step back and look and see, you know, kind of be a little bit more vigilant about who I was dealing with. That has stuck with me to this day. It has kept me and protected me. It causes me to be a woman that comes into situations in a more strategic way. And then for my grandfather, it's taught me to value folks that are not like me, but still be able to get to that treasure that's inside of them. I question and I wonder and I evaluate myself for what I'm going to leave behind. I hope that the breadcrumbs that I leave behind to my children, my grandchildren, nieces, nephews, great nieces, nephews, and grandchildren, what am I going to leave behind? What am I implanting in their DNA? Do you guys ever think about that? What is being left behind of you? What is going into the soil of your legacy? I hope you're planting a lot of love. I hope you're planting confidence and strategy and everything beautiful that you have to give. I hope you leave the world completely empty of every gift that God gave you. Well, these are the kinds of things that I'm thinking about as I relaunch my life. Thanks so much for listening. Have a beautiful day.